Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it.
It was great having you with us.
Be blessed of God.
I'm going to try to get through this a little bit more quickly. There's passages of Scripture that are given for each of these points, these prayer points, and so we're just going to go through these quickly. And so I didn't come up with the points and whatever, but this is from Church of God in Ontario. So the different churches, Church of God in Ontario, they're all praying around the same points. And so whoever came up with them, I'll tell you, they're right on. And in fact, let me just say this. The Lord is doing a work even today. So here we are praying on this morning at 6 a.m. There's a team that came together to pray. We prayed on this. There was another team that came in at 9:11 to pray on this. We prayed on this. And I had answer for some that we were praying for and specifically praying for. I had answers of prayer. So those that were at the 9:11 prayer time, there was answer to prayer already that God was doing a work of restoration of the family. I just say thank you, Lord, for that. So, I just want to go through these verses quick. And before I do, can somebody, or is there anybody here that you say, yeah, I have, there's been some either issues in the family or in marriages, or maybe not your own, but maybe from others that you say, man, I would want to pray for them. Is there anybody that you say, yeah, we need to have healing in the family and marriages? Okay. How many of you know or have a family member that is not a believer, that you have family members or relatives that are not believers? Okay, I should have pretty well every hand up here at this point in time. I think unless your family, the whole family is saved, that's amazing that your whole family is saved. But what oftentimes there's a breakdown within the family, and we can pray. That we can pray that God will do a work. Again, even today, as we pray, there were answers to prayer. I just say, thank you, Jesus. And it wasn't just a recent thing. It's been ongoing for the last 2-3 years now. And today, of all days, there was breakthroughs, just as we prayed. And so I want you to be encouraged at this time. So quickly, if you have your Bibles with you, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and verse 6 is the last verse of that last book of the Old Testament. And the heart of God is here. And some would say, well, this turning of the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers is talking about the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the children being the children of Israel, and that there be a turning back of the children of Israel to their forefathers, Abraham, who loved the Lord, and Isaac and Jacob, they loved the Lord. And so the children, this is Abraham was around 2000 BC. So we're talking 4,000 plus years ago. And we have the offspring of this, of these patriarchs are on the planet today, all these years later. And they're children from these forefathers that are not serving the Lord at this time. Most of them are not serving the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Another way of looking at this is a relationship. The heart of God is relationship. God does not want for there to be breakdown of relationship. He wants for relationship. He says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. If we don't allow the things of God to move in our lives, there is a curse Or there's consequences that are a result of that. And I would say anybody that's struggling or there's issues within the family or in the marriage or whatever, talk about a devastation to the heart. This is devastating to the our soul, our emotional state. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed and we just say, God, let there be something done. And there's an agitation, there's an anxiety regarding relationship within the family or within a marriage. If you're there tonight, I want to encourage you as we pray tonight that God will do a work of breakthrough that is beyond us. As we fast and pray and say, Lord God, you've got to do a work. Even in homes of believers, there can be situations happening. It's not like, well, hey, I'm a believer now, everything is good. Sometimes that's when all hell breaks loose. As we turn to God, now there's situations that happen. And the enemy is there truly to steal, kill, and destroy, to do that which is contrary to the will of the Father. So the heart of God is for relationship and restoration of relationship and a coming back together. The last verse in the Old Testament doesn't have an amen to it. Doesn't have an amen. There's something more coming, and it came in the New Testament with Jesus Christ coming to this planet. The very last verse in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20-21, listen to what it says, and this is for us. He who testifies these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So here we have this aspect of the grace of our Lord Jesus upon us in your home. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. The verse before it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In fact, Elijah is going to be on this planet for 3.5 years. He never died. Elijah was caught up. And the other man that has not died, they're the oldest living beings, and they are in heaven at this point in time, but they will actually come to this earth literally and be on this planet for 3.5 years. Does anybody know who the other man is? Enoch. So Elijah and Enoch are coming, and this is these two witnesses will be alive during the next or the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So again, if the Lord came back today, the last 3.5 years, they would be witnesses. The first 3.5 years, there's going to be witnesses on this planet, actually from Israel. So there's going to be 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe that will be witnesses for the first 3.5 years, then they'll be caught up. They're going to have a mark. They're going to be protected by the Lord for the first 3.5 years. We'll get into some of this as we go through Revelation. So, and then again, the next verse, verse 6, he says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the earth with a curse. The Lord wants blessing. He wants to bless us. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, this second passage is Psalm 91, verses 1 to 11. I'll try to get through it as quickly as possible, and so we have a little bit more time to pray today. I just entitled the second point, Trusting the Lord in the Worst of Times. Trusting the Lord in the Worst of Times. And some of you may be in that time. These are the worst of times. And I don't know, Lord, can I trust in you? And so Psalm 91, verse 1, it talks about our position with God. Our position with God. And let me read it. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place. Basically, it's a place of covering. It's a place of shelter. It's a hiding place. It's a place of protection. That's the secret place of the Most High. And so we can go to that place, and we can be in that place. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now I have up here on the stage, I have shadows. There's a shadow from the lights behind me. And so there's a shadow right there of me. And I see that there's also a shadow over here from that spotlight coming down over here. So there's another shadow of me. Now, whoever would be in my shadow, depending on where that positioning is, if it's over, the more the light would come over, the smaller the shadow would be. And so if you're in my shadow, you'd be fairly close. You're within, you know, maybe 3 meters or so of where I am. Now, if you're in the shadow of the Almighty, if that's where you are at, you're close to the Lord. May I say this? When you're going through the worst of times, the enemy's going to do whatever he can to make sure that you're not in the shadow of the Almighty, that you're not close to the Lord. He's going to try to get you apart from the Lord. And so realization, I need to draw close to the Lord. Now, I thank God, for the most part, when all hell is breaking loose, is usually when we cry out to God, God, where are you? And I would say, you're in the right frame of mind to be calling to God, say, God, where are you? And Lord, I'm coming to you. To move towards him, to be close to him, is where you need to be. And it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I need to trust in the Lord. Some of you might say, I've never done that before. I've always taken care of myself. I'm independent. And so I take care of myself. I believe that there's a time in our lives where we just recognize, you know what? I'm in a position where I can't get out anymore. I can't get out. And so this thing of the Lord being a refuge and a fortress to us, this thing of trusting him, it is a step of faith maybe, especially as you start off or you're doing it for the first time. Lord, I'm trusting in you, but I'm saying you move to him, move close to him into the shadow of the Almighty. And he says, he will. As we say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, he will become our refuge or that shelter to us, a fortress, this idea of a place of protection, a fortress. That's who God wants to be for us. It's interesting, and I just found this out today as I was finishing up here. Refuge. You know what? It's interesting what it says. A refuge from or of falsehood. It was like, really? So when we trust in the Lord, he becomes our refuge from falsehoods, from lies, from the things that we would say, well, this is truth, this is reality, this is my reality. And it's like the Lord is saying, and the falsehood of, well, God can't take care of this situation. This situation is too big for God. He can't take care of your marriage. He can't take care of your family. He can't restore. It's been so long, and he can't restore. And the refuge is we go to the Lord. The refuge is this, is that the lies that the enemy would want to give to us, he's saying, no, I'm going to be your fortress and your refuge from the falsehoods of the enemy as you are close to me. That's why it's so close or so important that we get close to the Lord, because He desires to be our refuge. He desires to be our fortress. Hallelujah. It blew me away when I saw that. It was like, oh my goodness. First time. Don't you love when you realize something for the first time and it's good? And it gives direction, it gives wisdom, it gives hope, it gives encouragement. It's like, thank you, Jesus. There's hope for my family. There's hope for my marriage. There's hope for these relationships that I thought were it's done, it's over with. And Lord, forgive me for my lack of trust in you. I'm coming to you. I'm going to get as close as I can. I'm going to be in your shadow. And there's even an illustration that we get even closer. It says, even if you're caught in a trap, surely, verse 3, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. A fowler is a trapper, a bait layer. He lays a bait there, and so you go after the bait, and then you get caught in the snare. And he says he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You know what? Sometimes we get into something that we didn't mean to get into. And the next thing, we're in a trap. And we can't get out. You know about a snare? The thing about a snare is this. The more you struggle, the tighter it gets. I know, my cousin used to set traps, set snares. Now really, technically, I don't know if he was using it to eat or if he was just using to get the rabbit skin, because really, you should eat nothing that is snared, that has died. Like that. The blood should be running out. So when an animal is butchered, they're not butchered dead, they're butchered being alive. I know some of you might have a hard time with this, but basically, all the meat that we get, the blood is I know there's might be some red or whatever, but basically the blood runs out. I know. Us three boys lived on a little farm, and we had chickens. And my dad, yeah, the first time, oh, man, not a good thing. But all to say, man, even to this day, I love chicken. You know, eating chicken. But I can remember, yeah. The snare of the fowler, the Lord is saying, I'm going to deliver you. And from the perilous pestilence, the dangerous pestilence, the things that might be seemingly overwhelming us, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, and you are going to deliver me from this. One way or another, you're going to deliver me from this. In Jesus' name, let it be. For your family, for your marriage, or whatever, you might say, Lord, is there deliverance? Can there be a changes take place? The Lord can do a work. Lord, we're going to trust in you. Now, look at how close you get here. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. This is an illustration of being very close. I shared this illustration. Our neighbor, when we were growing up, had a hawk. And, yeah, hawk and chickens are not a good combination. For whatever reason, that hawk went and attacked a hen. And the amazing thing was, yeah, there was somebody that took care of the hawk. But the hen lost its life. And you know what was amazing? As we went to look, and the hen had lost its life by this hawk. But underneath the wings, the little chicks started coming out. All the chicks had gone underneath the wing on both sides. It was protected. I'll tell you right now. The Lord died for us so that we can have life. The Lord gave himself willingly so that we could have life. And he's saying, I want you to know you can come, and as we are under who Jesus is to us, Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you don't remember anything about anything, if you just remember one thing, as Paul says, I was determined you would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He died for you so that you could have life, that I can have life, that your family can have life, that your marriage can have life, that the things that are impossible can be taken care of. He died for us. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. A shield is much larger. In fact, this is a good size for a shield, and some of them were even bigger. And the Romans were really good at warfare. The guys in I think it was called a phalanx. They basically, all the guys on the outside, they'd get into a square or a rectangle, whatever, and they would put their shield down on the outside, and on the inside they'd bring their shield up so that there was nothing that could penetrate. It's interesting, in the New Testament it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, because the next thing here, it says here, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. The shield and this buckler. The buckler was a smaller shield that could be moved very easily. And they would, with their sword, this was a smaller, a buckler is a smaller shield, can move much more quickly than a larger shield. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. So there, here's this aspect of you emotionally. Fear has to do with your state of well-being or not. It's not, there's an anxiety when you have fear. It's the emotional state that you're going through and the mental state. One of the things that we prayed for, was it this morning? I think it was yesterday, about that we would prosper as our soul prospers. Do you know that it doesn't matter how much money you have, if you know you have cancer, now suddenly your soul, your emotional and mental state, it doesn't matter that, hey, I'm a billionaire many times over. It doesn't matter then, because your soul is out of sync. Or sometimes it might be there's a lack of relationship. I can remember I worked for a very wealthy family. Very wealthy. And thing was, they had one of the brothers or whatever or one of the family members had this beautiful chalet, not a chalet, sounds right, overlooking, I think it was Lake Erie or something. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But you know what? How sad it was that this individual would be sitting in that place all by himself because the family didn't want anything to do with him anymore. So I have wealth, I have beautiful things, but there's no family. And so, whoopsie. So here the Lord is, the emotional, is letting us know the emotional state of our being. He's going to take care of it. No fear. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And this is why this example I gave earlier from our brother, your father, Daniel, was, hey, it's not my problem. It's his problem. What are you laughing about? What are you rejoicing over? It's not my problem. In the New Testament, it says to be anxious for nothing. Just bring your prayers to him. Lord, these are my problems. I'm giving them to you. You've got to do something here. Do something, Lord. So I don't have to be afraid at night or during the day. It doesn't matter what time. Lord, my emotional state is, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be calm. Doesn't matter what time or day or night it is, the Lord will keep us safe. It says, nor of the pestilent that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Again, he's reiterating it again. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how extreme it is. You are a child of God, of the Most High God. Lord, this is yours. You've got this. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Lord, we are going to place our faith in you, Jesus. You're going to keep us safe. It's obvious that what happens to those that don't serve the Lord. I've been around a lot of people that have died. And I thank God the majority of them were people that loved the Lord, and there is a calm over them. There is a different state of existence. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't have to be afraid, even in the valley of the shadow of death. So the Lord is with us. And I've been there when people have died, literally taking their last breath. It was something when my father passed away. He got this call. My older brother Ernie was saying, Dave, you need to come back. Dad doesn't have much time left. We were going over the Skyway in St. Catharines, came over, took the first turn off, and came back on, and got back. And I think it was, I don't know, around 5 o'clock or 5:30 or something like that. It was 5 o'clock. Is that when Dad passed? Was it 5? Okay, so we got there back at the house at around 4:30 or so, Julie and I, and there was a number of the grandkids that were there, that could make it, were there, and us three sons and our wives. And I don't know, for whatever reason, my dad was 80, he had just turned 86 years of age, and I felt very strongly to pray the Lord's, or not the Lord's Prayer, the Psalm 23 over my father. And so I prayed through Psalm 23, and as the Holy Spirit just gave me words to say around those verses, I prayed that. But here's the amazing thing. When I said amen, my dad took 2 breaths and he was gone. There was no waiting another 10 minutes, another 20 minutes, another half an hour or an hour or a day. It was literally when I said amen, my dad took 2 breaths and he was gone. He breathed his last. It was like the Lord was putting a stamp on the life of my father. He said, I'm with you right to the end. And my father was with the Lord. I look forward to seeing my dad. Even in the worst of times, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You observe the reward of the wicked. It is not good. You reap what you sow. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give you his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, if you look at this more closely, it's actually, and so many of the Psalms are talking about Jesus Christ himself, is this verse, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The next verse talks about that even if you jump or from the high thing, the angels will watch you, that you don't dash your feet. It's talking about Jesus, that temptation that he had by Satan. He took him to the top, the pinnacle of the temple, I believe, and it was like, hey, why don't you jump? The angels will keep you safe. So if this is the case where it's talking about Jesus, because you have made the Lord, the Father, who is my refuge, even the Most High, he is the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Which means the Holy Spirit, as we know, all scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, was there for the Lord. And is the Holy Spirit is there for us as well. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So just as we close here, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It's like, you know what? It's not just a talking to your children. It's not just that, but it's being authentic with who you are before your children. A few verses before this, I think it talks about keeping his commandments. I think it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. At the end it says, or at verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Is that a negative comment or a positive one? Very positive. To have prolonged days or length of life. There's this song that says, only the good young die young. It's like, nah, no, not necessarily. Here the Lord is saying, you know what? You serve me. You love me. You trust me. I'm going to prolong your days. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, verse 4. Oh, actually, let me read verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hey, that we would be a land flowing with milk and honey, that we would be able to bless others in who we are. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is one of the commands. They say, what's the greatest commandment? And the Lord gave this commandment. This is Matthew, I think, 22, verse 35 or around there. It talks about the fact, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And he quoted this one, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's what we do as we pray. We're praying not just for ourselves. We can pray for others as well. Last one is Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness, in the Old Testament sense here, is what is right or just or good, and justice are the foundation of your throne. Justice is that final decision that God makes. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. He does what is right and what is good. This throne is a place of authority, of power, of a place of rule and of ruling. Mercy and truth go before your face. Mercy, I'll tell you, is not getting what you deserve. When you don't get what you deserve, is mercy. It's like, I deserve much greater consequences or consequence. And the Lord says to have mercy. Mercy and truth can go before your face. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness is the meaning of the word mercy in the Hebrew. Truth is firmness. I love this. This is the depth of the Hebrew language. This is Old Testament, of course, Psalms 89:14. Firmness, this is truth. Firmness, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, continuance. If something is true, it does not change after time. Truth does not change. It is, let me read it again. It is firm. It is solid. It is faithful. Faithful to us. It is sure. It's of sureness. It's reliable. It's of reliability. It continues on. I love the fact in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So, I want you to be encouraged tonight as we get together to pray now.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. And smash. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.